Our season is an attempt to broaden the repertory for the Opera Association. Opera is frequently referred to as putting old wine into new bottles.
In this season, one of Robert Lyle's so-called old wines is so rare, it's likely never been heard by most local opera-goers. Of course, there'll be favorites like La Bohème and Massenet's Cinderella in the Mahalia Jackson Theatre. But another rare offering in the centennial year of Benjamin Britten is his spiritual Noah's Flood, to be performed in Trinity Church. And then there's The Vampire.
In my musicological readings over the years, I've often encountered the title of the opera, The Vampire, and you kind of bemusedly set it aside. And now I look around and I see two television series, Writings of Anne Rice, and just a general awareness that this phantasmagorical cult kind of thing has become popular entertainment. Then I revisited the famous title, The Vampire, to see what this opera was all about. One of the fun components of the piece is that Wagner, as a young conductor, conducted it many times. It became the single greatest influence on his work, The Flying Dutchman.
Interestingly, the whole ghoulish theme of this opera had little to do with centuries of folklore about creatures that never die, or even Bram Stoker's Dracula, Robert Lyle says.
This actually originated at a health resort in which Lord Byron, the great British writer, Mary Shelley, and Percy Bysshe Shelley were all vacationing, and they decided that they would write ghost stories to scare each other. And so they wrote these down, and the doctor who attended them on their travels gathered these up and realized that the one by Lord Byron was actually quite clever. And so he took it and developed it a little more and published it under Byron's name because he was such a celebrity.
The story became the basis for the libretto, which then became a play, and that's when the composer Heinrich Marschner picked it up. But even he would be surprised at how Robert Lyle has decanted this 1828 old wine of an opera.
We decided that it would be more fun for the audience to come see sights that they recognize, locales, and to set these characters in the modern context, exactly mirroring, in some respects, the television series and things like that.
The mixture of the known and unknown in this season's opera offerings is part of the New Orleans Opera's desire to expand its audiences.
Our home is the Theater for Performing Arts, the Mahalia Jackson Theater with the Placido Domingo stage, and that's where we deliver our art. On the other hand, there are lots of shapes, sizes, forms, and styles of music theater. Certainly, we are opening the invitation to come and experience opera in many different ways, in the hopes that there will be a new audience. But those that have felt perhaps opera is more of a secret club or a ritualistic kind of experience and have dwelled on those stereotypes. It's not that at all. If you ever walk into the opera house and you hear truly great voices combined with truly great orchestral playing and choral singing, and you see sets and costumes that engage you and envelop the drama, that's what opera is all about.
For more information on the opera season, go to wwno.org or nolavie.com. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.